This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Kia ora and welcome to the Joy Jam. You are listening to Marie Gibson, the host of the Joy Jam show, and I do believe I am recording currently podcast number 65. I think I told you a bit of a lie last time thinking that it was number 63 or, you know me, I've never been able to do maths, but I think we're at number 65. Anyway, I hope this recording finds you well, finds you happy, and finds you being able to find pockets of joy in amongst what is often a very difficult time for people. I want to share a little story with you, which will lead into the theme of this podcast. A couple of weeks ago, I was round at my daughter-in-law's and I was playing on the floor and I was lying on my back and had my hand on my stomach. Now, I have an abundant stomach, for those of you who don't know me. There is a lot of fat pockets. There's a lot of loose skin. This is not something that I say with shame, but just as a matter of this is what my stomach looks like. So I don't tend to spend a heck of a lot of time with my hands feeling around for lumps and bumps. And anyway, flat on my back, hand on my abdomen, and just up where the top of my rib cage, I guess, or bottom of my rib cage, don't know anatomy either clearly, I found this lump. And it was quite big. I thought, oh, shit. And then I moved my hands around and it felt like I could find two more that were just not nearly as big. Now, I did an immediate little panic. Oh my God, what might this be? And then I calmed myself down and I went home and I spoke to Chris, that's my wife, and she said, you need to go to the doctor. Well, for whatever reason, I thought, oh, I should probably take this seriously and go to the doctor. My lymph nodes around my glands and my face, they'd been feeling a little bit swollen, probably have done since COVID, if I'm to be honest. So, you know, one small thing led to another, led to a thought pattern, led to a whole host of unhelpful beliefs or thoughts. Anyway, I went to the doctor. She could feel them, and she said, we need to get you in for an ultrasound. And I thought, I'll just stay at the mercy of the hospital system. It'll be fine. My friends didn't think that was a good idea, and they were like, no. And two of my friends, they offered to pay for me to go and get a private ultrasound just to make everyone's mind feel at ease. Anyway, long story short, the hospital got back to me very quickly and they'd farmed me out privately. Mid-Central Health had farmed my claim out to Pacific Radiology. So I wasn't going to have to pay for it privately, but I was going in straight away to get it done. Now, this is where my story got a little bit more interesting in my head. I tell you, I'm an international playwright in my own head. But I started thinking some unhelpful things. Now, you've got to remember my paranoia, which is paranoia, I readily admit that, but it comes from having lost my mother and her sister to the same kind of lymphoma, so cancer in their lymph nodes. My doctor talked about these lumps perhaps being in my lymph nodes. My father also died of cancer, but his was bowel cancer. However, the cancer did not grow inside his bowel. It grew outside of his bowel and then attached to his liver. Now, either way, these lumps had me thinking, well, maybe these are fucking something and they're about to attach themselves to my liver. My liver being right about where these lumps are. Secondly, the doctor mentioned lymph nodes. Oh my God, what if I have lymphoma? So I have done my best in the last week and a half to quieten down the paranoia that was going around inside my head. Now, I've made a short story long, but now to condense it, went in this morning and the what's called lycomas. So lymphomas. I don't know. But basically what we used to term fatty tissues. So the lumps, but essentially lumps of fat. Completely harmless. And the woman who was doing the ultrasound said that with our subcutaneous fat layers that lie under the skin, when there are fatty tissues in there, or these lycomas, they look very much like just the layers of fat. Either way, my lymph nodes were clear. And when I was 6 years old, I had a huge fatty tissue removed from my arm. So this is not something that is unheard of in my body. The relief, I got to tell you, the relief of finding out there was nothing to worry about. There is so much going on within our family and our family's health right now. I don't need to bore you with the details, and I don't want to upset anyone's privacy by talking about them on air. But hence to say there is several people that have got serious health conditions in our immediate and just slightly external family. That makes a person worry. That makes a whole family get worried, and then one thought can become 10, can become 1,000 really, really quickly. So today, I want to talk about what's going on inside our head. And as I walked out this morning, my cherry blossom tree has started blossoming. And for most of winter, this cherry blossom tree looks like dead twigs, a huge jumble of dead twigs. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing the most beautiful little buds of blossom appearing on these dead twigs. And I thought, there's something in that. There's something in that analogy of what looks dead. So if we think about that with our problems, what looks like insurmountable problems can suddenly come to light. The solution can come to light. You can solve the problem and life is good again. So I want us to talk about spring cleaning. No, and I'm not going to ask you to pull out the friggin' vacuum cleaner. No, if that's your jam, I'm not dissing you. I'm just saying that's not really my jam. But I'm really talking about a mental and emotional spring cleaning of our mind. Because I can't be the only one. In fact, I'm not. So many of my coaching clients, what I'm coaching them about are those unhelpful, limiting beliefs or thoughts that happen inside their head. So when we spring clean, we get rid of clutter, we tidy, we organize, we throw out stuff that we no longer need. So I want you to think about What is in your mind that is unhelpful? What is in your mind that is worryingly unnecessary? What is it inside your mind that's toxic? And that can lead to not just thoughts. It can lead to people. It can lead to places. It can lead to work. It can be all manner of things that suddenly become toxic or no longer necessary in our life. You know, there's that saying, people are here for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. I've had many friends that turned out to be seasonal. We just grew apart for no reason, but that we just grew apart. Then there are other friends that perhaps, you know, exit stage left, chased by a bear, to quote Shakespeare, but they kind of ended in conflict. But when I look back, they were there for a reason. And then there are the friends that I will have for a lifetime. And so many people come and go in our life, and we have, I think sometimes we cling to relationships, we cling to friendships, we cling to stuff, we cling to thoughts that are no longer needed for who we are today. And we are forever changing. You know, if you are listening to this podcast, chances are that you are a person who's interested in self-development, who's interested in personal growth. And you can't grow without changing. You can't grow without decluttering, without spring cleaning. And so springtime is as good a time as any. You know, we hit daylight savings, we suddenly have a bit more energy. There's longer hours in the day, it's a little bit warmer. There's just this, you know, for as long as I remember, people have talked about this idea of spring cleaning. That often, you know, you don't want to do all the washing in the middle of winter because it's not going to friggin' dry, right? You've got woolen blankets. They're going to take, you know, 3 weeks, you know, in front of a fan heater just to dry. So spring cleaning has become this idea that, you know, once the worst of the winter is over, those dead twigs we prune before it blossoms, or we prune going into winter so that when the blossom comes, there is room for it. Who in your life right now is sucking the life out of you? I call them emotional vampires. Are there people, maybe in the workplace, maybe there's friends, maybe there's in-laws, maybe there's children, maybe there's parents, that are having such a negative effect on your mental health, on your emotional well-being, that something's got to give? And I don't want what gives is you. So we've got to do some spring cleaning. I'm just going to pull up. I saw this amazing, who wrote it? Words by Talia Hunter, and it's an excerpt from Another Year of Love Letters to Myself. I haven't read the book, but I saw this, and I thought it was probably quite apt. A message of love and healing for anyone who is currently dealing with a difficult person. Sometimes in life, there will be people who misunderstand you, judge you, criticize you, ridicule you, or who place all kinds of labels on you, who believe that there is something wrong with you and that you are the reason for their problems, who believe that you aren't good enough, beautiful enough, or successful enough, and compare you with others, who monopolize conversations and only talk about themselves, who ignore, minimize, and invalidate your pain and emotions, who are constantly filled with negativity, and who attempt to control you or control your decision-making and dictate the trajectory of your life. Sometimes this is because they feel that there is something lacking within themselves, and by bringing you down, they can feel better about who they are. And sometimes this is because they are jealous and envy your success and don't wish to see you flourish and thrive. Sometimes this is because they are procrastinating as they fear their own potential greatness and success and are triggered when they see it in you. Oh, that's me in the past. And sometimes this is because they are genuinely incapable of seeing your worth or your potential. These people come in many forms, such as relatives, co-workers, and toxic partners and friends, and it is inevitable that you will encounter them at some point in your life. Regardless of the situation, always remember that life is too short to take their words to heart. Life is too short to take what they say personally. And life is too short to waste time defending and justifying yourself to those who will never truly see you or appreciate you. Always remember that someone's actions and behavior are ultimately a reflection of them rather than of you. And you don't have to give them power to influence how you feel about yourself and your potential. You deserve more than being someone's emotional dumping ground. You deserve more than being someone others constantly put down and criticize. And you deserve more than being someone others mistrust, bully, or harm emotionally. And so you have every right to distance yourself from them and remove such people from your life where possible. Or choose to set clear boundaries with them and minimize the time you spend with them in order to preserve your well-being. And when it comes to such people, let your love be greater than their hate. Let your confidence speak louder than their insecurities. And let the beauty of who you are shine brighter than the ugliness of their character and actions. Understanding that those who anger you control you. And so you should refuse to give them permission to disturb your joy or disrupt your peace. And instead, choose to see yourself through the eyes of those who love you, value you, encourage you, and see your potential. And surround yourself with people like this in your life. Or if you feel that you lack such support, choose to be this person for yourself. Oh, there is so much gold in that reading. So much gold. And, you know, even as I was reading it, people's faces were flashing through my mind. People who I gave power to, that I let them belittle me, I let them control my potential, and I allowed comments that they'd made make me procrastinate my own potential, procrastinate me taking action to success. I gave them power. And in fact, by then, I didn't actually need anyone to put me down because I was putting myself down on a daily basis. I was allowing myself to be that toxic person. And I've certainly been this toxic person for other people. I have talked about other people behind their back as a way of making myself feel better. Because I hate the fact I'm such a procrastinator, I have been triggered when I've seen other people's success, and so I take the piss out of it. Or I have put them down, or I've criticized them unnecessarily. I remember still being in primary school where I used to bully this girl, Stella. And she used to call me names, and so I'd call her names back. And really, the names that she called me, or the names that I called her, were names that I called myself. So, you know, I just thought I was second cousin to Meatloaf. In fact, Meatloaf was one of my nicknames that my brother and sister, bless them, gave me. And I used to make myself feel better by putting this girl down, bullying her. And that doesn't fill me with joy. In fact, it filled me with shame and remorse even when I did it. But I was somehow, you know, by bullying her, it was more a reflection over how I felt about myself. I hated me. I hated everything about me. I hated my weight. I hated the stories that I'd been given in life. I hated the trauma. I hated the lack of money that my family had. I blamed everyone and everything for my misery. And really, if I had given myself a chance, if I had believed in myself, no, I couldn't have taken all of the trauma away because things happened to me that were out of my control. But I didn't have to allow them or those situations dictate the hatred that I felt for myself. If I had filled myself with love, I would have been able to accept my story, I believe. I would have been able to move confidently in the world and not feel this need to totally berate myself and other people. And I know that I have always seemed like a confident girl, but deep down, that confidence was skin deep. It never ran to its core. I didn't believe in my own brilliance. I didn't believe in my talent. I didn't believe in me, full stop. And I did think that by losing weight, all of those problems were going to disappear. Do you think that sometimes? Like there is going to be this magical answer that's going to erase all the shit that goes on inside your head or take away all the circumstances of your life. So for me, losing weight, suddenly my life was going to look like a postcard. I don't know what kind of delusion I was thinking. So I lost all that weight. And really, I was the same miserable cow that I always was. I was just 90 kilos smaller. Truth. I couldn't believe that all of my problems, all of my misery came with me. And I was just a smaller version of the miserable me I was at over 170 kilos. Sad, right? And I remember suddenly thinking of the fat me as being someone I was never going to be again because I hated that girl. But at the time, you know, and I'm talking 13 years ago, I refused to acknowledge or I couldn't see at that point in my journey that that girl was me. I was still her. All of those stories that came with me, they were still there. That actually the weight, the load that I had to shed were the emotional weights that were sitting inside my head, the chip that was sitting on my shoulder that was weighing me down. That's what I had to shed. You know, me at 170 kilos was every bit as worthy of love and connection and belonging that I am now. We are no different. I am me and I am her, she is me, and whatever. So what happens inside our head is less than helpful. So how do we spring clean? You know, mindfulness has become this on-trend kind of term, but it's true. When we are filled with shame of our past, we can't be present. When we are filled with anxiety, worrying about our future, we can't be present. There's that amazing quote by Brené Brown, what we don't need in the midst of struggle is shame for being human. Love that. But I think quite often that shame is driven by ourselves. we drive that shame of not being good enough. And in the midst of struggle, I think often shame reaches its peak. What does she say? In order for shame to grow, we need three things: secrecy, silence, and judgment. So maybe there are things in your past that you believe if other people knew about you, they wouldn't want to be around you. They wouldn't want to be friends with you. They wouldn't want to be married to you. Whatever it is. And so you learn that there's a secret. I've got to keep it a secret. I certainly had stories from when I was young that I thought were secrets. And I learned that I had to stay silent about them. And the person that I judged the most, secrecy, silence, and judgment, the person that I judged the most was me. And now I look back and I see that so many things in my life have happened outside of my control, and that the only thing that I am able to control is my reaction to it. So these fatty tissues that I spoke about at the beginning, whatever they were going to be was outside of my control. But I don't or didn't need to go down this really, really deep paranoid rabbit hole and come up with scenarios that weren't true. So maybe there are situations that are worrying you. Spring clean some of that worry, some of that paranoia. Maybe you're having difficulties in your relationship. Maybe you're having difficulties at work. There are things that you can do to spring clean the emotional state that you have. Going for a walk. Many, many a decision is made after a good long walk. I believe that when we put our hand on our gut, usually our gut always knows the answer to a problem, but the answer will always lie in stillness. When we are still, when we're able to be truly present with our feelings, so whether we meditate, whether we go for a walk, whatever we do, but those answers will reveal themselves. We've just got to quieten the noise inside our head in order to be able to hear the answer. And if you were to put your hand on your gut, you already know the answers about whether you should leave a relationship, whether you should leave a friendship, whether you should leave a job, whether you need to chuck out those items that no longer serve you at home, whether you need to go in and get a blood test, whatever is bugging you inside your head. And we are in the midst of a worldwide struggle. But being overly worried, overly paranoid about it is not going to take these struggles away. Being kind and compassionate to ourselves, and therefore we are able to be kind and compassionate to other people. The least compassionate people are the ones that judge themselves the hardest. The most compassionate people are ones that have their boundaries very, very clear. So that when they offer themselves to other people, they do so with nothing but compassion. I want you to do that for yourself. By being yourself, by being your authentic self, shit, that looks beautiful. It looks amazing on you, I tell you. And people, so many people have said to me, Marie, you're so authentic, you're really true and you're real, and that's why we can listen to you. Well, I've spent too long pretending and lying to myself. And one of my biggest goals was to stop believing the lies that I tell myself. So lies of not being good enough, lies of being ugly, lies of, at 50 with a hanging stomach, 48 long for boobs, I'm covered in scars, I've got a denture. I have never felt more beautiful, and I can honestly say that, because I have made peace with who I am. That's what I want for you. I want you to make peace with who you are. So get spring cleaning, people. Shed the unhelpful baggage that you're carrying around. I can guarantee you, you will feel lighter at the end of the day. That's all we've got time for. If you want to share this with anybody else, or you want to jump on and listen to it again, you can find me on Spotify or go to www.npr.nz/show/joyjam. If you are by chance on Spotify and you're listening to a show, give me a review. Start following me. I need to build up a bit of a presence here on Spotify. Namaste.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.